in the name of Jesus. I ask that you shall cause a revolution and a transformation within us that is only possible by your Spirit. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. All right, so we're continuing from where we stopped last week. So last week, we started a conversation on... see the greatness. Which is just... sorry, my titling is not... I really don't title messages. I just call it whatever. So the title might even be different from the sermon, you know. But at least it means something to me. So it's me that the title makes sense to, you know. But I remember we were talking about the new man, Abby? Yeah, we're talking about the new creation. Let's do a quick recap of what's... let me just do one thing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. All right, let's read together. I want to go.
Therefore, if anyone is Christ, is a new creation. Old things have passed away.
Hallelujah. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I think the main thing that we were saying is that this experience, which is salvation, is not like a refurbishment. You know, it's not like, you know, those cars, you guys may not know, but at times, the car that you see that you like, you know, on Instagram or something, what happened is that somebody went to an abandoned car lot in Canada or America, you know. You know those cars that they've pressed, that they've had accident, the front has, you know, removed, all those kind of things, right? So at times, people will go to those car lots where you have abandoned vehicles, you know, and then they will import them to Nigeria like that. Like, see? And then you start doing, you know, refurbishment. You change the hood, you change, you know, the tire and everything. Then you now sell it as almost brand new, you know. It's just that those cars, you never know what you have bought. You know, one day the thing can just, you know, stop on express, you know. But anyway, salvation is not like that, you know. Salvation is not like our lives are being made better. Our lives are being refurbished. Hallelujah. Are we together? It's a very simple thing to say, but you need to understand it. You know, you need to, all your life would be the playing out of this verse. Hallelujah. All your life would just be you understanding this verse in a new way. Okay, so even though it's a simple thing, don't just hear it and just, okay, I'm new creation, you know, no. You have to sit with it. It has to be the thing that occupies your mind. You know, one of the things that, by the grace of God, we'll get to today is how we think. Because our experience in Christianity is based on how, or is based on what is going on in our minds. Hallelujah. It's based on what's going on in our minds. If what is going on in your mind is the right thing, then you will experience God the right way. But if what is going on in your mind is the wrong thing, even though you are saved, it will be like you are not saved. Hallelujah. Are we together? So, we have to learn how to stay. And that's why... you have to be comfortable. And I'll say it in a strange way, but you see, you have to be comfortable with the word being boring, in quotes. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? God is not offended if you say his word is boring. Because his word is certainly not meant to excite your flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. You have to be comfortable with the thing just being there. And you're just looking at it. You're just seeing it. And it's like nothing is happening. You know, that's how Christianity is. It will be like nothing is happening. You can be doing the greatest thing in your life and you even feel like doing it. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? You might not know it from maybe the way I do my thing, but if they told me now that you're no longer doing Tinshaw's pastor, I wouldn't be sad like that. You know, it's not like I'll be crying. Oh, Lord. You know. The stress is plenty. You get it right. There are times when I come and I teach, and it's not like I feel like teaching. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you wouldn't know. You know, you wouldn't know because maybe that day, that would be the day that things would be happening. You know, but actually, the one feeling that day is like, I'm not really in the mood. You know, God doesn't care about your feelings. Do you understand what I'm saying? God doesn't move based on your feelings. Okay? And the Holy Spirit doesn't manifest in you based on your feelings. So, is it just be there? You know, I'm a new creation. But the question is, what do you do with it? Hallelujah. So, if you are saying that what God did is new creation or new man, not changed man, not better man, but new man. And the question is, what is the implication of that? Or what is that new man about? Do you understand what I'm saying? So working with God is not like, working with God is not, you know, at times, people can have an understanding of working with God as morals or good behavior. What I mean by that is that people, because, you know, if you are raised in a good home, you will have good morals. Okay? And at times people, the people that don't really understand the spirit the most are people like that. Hallelujah. Because in the mind, there isn't really much to change. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? You know, you now, if you're a confirmed sinner, it's clear that you need God. I mean, now, maybe Eve at 16, you've already had 5 abortions. You know, that all those kind of people, you know, now, those kind of people, it's clear that, oh, I need you, God. But, you know, if you are first in class, you know, you're well behaved, all the adults around you like you. You know, there are people like that. You know, you're head boy. You know, you're number one in sports. You know, there are people like that. You know, you can misunderstand this thing because you can think that, not even that you misunderstand, you just miss God because in your mind, you're already perfect. So it's almost like God is coming to augment you. It's almost like you're even the one doing God a favor. You know. Just in case there's anybody like that, you know, because some people are like that, you know. But for those of us that have rubbish in our head, you know, amen. Amen. I guess follow me. You know. For those of us that are imperfect, well, what we need to understand is that as we entered into salvation, what God did was a revolution. He didn't improve us. He didn't make us a better version of ourselves. He changed us into a totally complete and different person. Hallelujah. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Shate, are you hearing me? You want to come to the front? I'm not hearing you. Talk now, talk loud, talk loud. You're cold in the front, okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? It's complete revolution. Hallelujah. Now, when people talk about the new man, okay, please listen to me. When people talk, the way I'm talking, is it making you sleep? No, okay. Now, when people talk about the new man, no, it can actually make you sleep. You know, amen. You know, if there's no energy, I know what I'm saying, like, there's no, I'm just, you know, it can make you just be dozing off, you know. It's like soothing music, you know, because the decibels are low. If I was shouting, then you won't be sleeping. Now, at times, people misunderstand the new man, okay? Because Christianity is contact with God, meaning when you become a Christian, you start interacting with the nature and the character of God. And it is very possible for you to misunderstand God. It's very possible. I mean, I'm not saying a deep thing. You can misunderstand anybody. You know, I remember one time during NYSC, you know, we usually have a tradition that when a new batch comes to the lodge where the coppers are staying, those of us in the Christian Fellowship will cook for the new people. You know, so it's not like we cook rice and, you know, because all of us are broke. It's indomie and egg or something like that, you know. So we shall just cook for them to welcome them, you know. It's been a long journey, you know, things like that. That's the Christians, you know. So we'll cook for the new people that join. And then this lady joined. And then I started telling her that, okay, we're going to give you food and everything. And the girl was that, the lady, rather, she was... she was very hostile. She was like, no. You know, I was like, we'll give you food now. You know, it's food. It's not, I know it's easy to do jazz, you know, but she was like, no. You know, why? She doesn't trust. Maybe she thinks that, you know, want to poison the food. Or she thinks that maybe me that I was offering the food, maybe I want to use it to start toasting now, you know, something like, you know, people think like that, you know, which is not, it's just a function of maybe your life experience. So, in that situation, you have a person that is misunderstanding a gesture. Do you get what I'm saying, right? When you see somebody, how they respond, how they behave, you know, and that's why even you as a person, you have to be careful that you are not misunderstood. Anybody that tells you that they fell in love with you, and you say, no, I was just texting you. No, you're the one that is wrong. You know, you should be very clear in your communication. Don't use words like, my dear, my love. You know, do you get what I'm saying, Daniela? You know, don't start texting a guy now. Maybe you're texting Doty. Start saying, oh, my love, you know. Then Doty will not start feeling somehow. Ah, does she like me? Does she, you know. You get my point, right? Are you hearing me? Yeah. And please don't, for those of us that have long throats, you know, don't collect airtime from people that, you know, that are toasting you, please. Amen. Why you laughing? I laugh. Now I'm serious. For those of you that have long throats, the spirit is still in you. The spirit has not yet gone away from you. As a woman, please don't entertain gifts from a gift that doesn't have, you know, head or tail. You get. so that you can be a serious person. Be a serious person. Have your own money. You know, have your own self-esteem. Don't be collecting things from five guys. You know, that's not new creation. Are we together? Are you with me?
Yes,
sir. All right. Please stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. So, people can misunderstand God. You know, when you interact with God, you will discover that he's a very loving person. You know, I was, I saw a clip, just a clip of someone, and she was talking about how, as a Christian, she doesn't dress decently. And she was like, oh, people are always judging me. But I know that God does not judge me. You know, and she was asking a pastor to educate her on whether she's in the right or in the wrong, you know. Which is common. It's very common when you don't really understand who you are in Christ Jesus. You can have a certain bad character. And instead of repenting from the bad character, because God is not judging you, you would think that the character that you have is okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. God will never judge you. Even as you're going to a fire like this, he will never judge you. He won't. Right. So if you come and you say, that's why... prostitutes, that's the term that we all know. You know, prostitutes like Jesus a lot. You've read the Bible now, prostitutes too, even when he was alive, and also when, even now, prostitutes always have a man of God that they talk to. Amen. Are we together? No, I'm serious. Prostitutes have a man of God that they talk to. Prostitutes follow online prayers religiously. You might not know it, but I'm telling you, you know, prostitutes go to church, you know. Now, the reason is that you can be a prostitute and still be enjoying the love of God, in quotes. Do you get what I'm saying? Because God will never judge you. Hallelujah. Are we together? God will never judge you. The Holy Spirit will never attack you or insult you or, what's the word, condemn you. Do you get what I'm saying? So there's nothing that you are doing that you receive condemnation from God, even though what you are doing is wrong. So when you come into contact with God's personality, as the loving side of his personality, without a proper understanding of who you are, you can misunderstand or misappropriate how you should live your life. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. If you carry bad results now to your house, some of you, your parents will insult you. Huh? But God will not insult you. Has God insulted anybody that got F? Maybe in the dream, he saw God and said, God said, you don't have sense. You know? Has it happened to anybody here before? No. Do you get my point? All right. So when you are with God, you can misunderstand and think that it's okay to fail. Do you get my point? Because if we fail, and God will not be judging you. Amen. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? All right. So there are so many things that we have excuses for. Because God is not judging us, we think that those things are acceptable. This is one of the major problems of a lack of understanding. And it's all about not understanding this thing. Because you see, when Jesus Christ put it this way, he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's about you, not about God. So, if, for example, you are failing, God is not failing. God will be loving you, right? But what God wants to happen is that he wants you to come into the understanding of who you are so that you can look at yourself and say, I am not a failure. Do you understand what I'm saying? What he doesn't want is that you would then say, I'm a failure and God loves me like that. Amen. Are we together? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? Does anybody not understand what I'm saying? I can explain it. Is there anyone that doesn't understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? But do you understand what I'm saying? What don't you understand? Explain the best way you can. You're not following me. This one, you're lying to me. It's not that you don't understand me, it's that you're not listening to me. So, when God... So, we shouldn't misunderstand... Please, listen to me. Listen to me. So, we shouldn't misunderstand God's love towards us or God's provision for us as an excuse to not step into everything that God has done for us. Hallelujah. Are we together? For instance, in the first example that I gave about the lady that was talking about, the lady was saying that she has strong faith. You know, she has strong faith in God. But she dresses her kind of way and people tell her your dressing is bad, but she knows that God does not judge her. So she was asking the pastor to explain, is she in the right, is she in the wrong, which is good. It's good to be humbled and ask. But you see, the lady does not have strong faith. Hallelujah. Are we together? Why? Because she doesn't understand who she is. If she understood who she was, she would not be dressing indecently. Amen. Are we together? That's why I say you need to stay on it. Because you can assume you know what new creation is. This thing, it affects everything about you. It's not a Sunday thing, or a Saturday thing, or a Wednesday thing. It's Monday morning, Tuesday evening. It's how you talk. Hallelujah. It's how you dress. Hallelujah. Not dressing as per Gucci, but dressing as per the value that you place on yourself. Because you understand whose child you are. Is what you want to do with your life. Amen. Are we together? Is how you say please. Is how you say sorry. It's everything. Because there is an understanding of a new creation. For example, when you have a good, when you come to the reality, are you following me? When you come to the reality of what God has done in you, if you have only one good shirt, for example, maybe you have three shirts. One is good, two are maybe the, maybe there's oil or something, you know. If you come to this reality, you can throw away those two and be wearing only one every day. Meaning, you rather wear that one shirt, wash it overnight. You wear it again in the morning. You wash it. You wear it again in the morning. You wash it. You get my point? When you don't understand this thing, you have what is called Christmas clothes. Anybody that is saving clothes for Christmas is not new creation. You don't know what you are doing with your life. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
It's simple, Abby. I know what I'm saying is simple, but this is, don't worry, we'll get to some other things, but this is the foundation of your faith. This is what determines if you are serving Jesus or serving Yoruba Jesus or serving Hausa Jesus. You know, there are different Jesuses. I've told you that before. Jesus is Jesus, but you can create your own Jesus. Hallelujah. So it is based, it affects every single thing about us. New creation, not improvement. New creation, new way of living, new way of thinking. Amen. Which is very interesting because God's way of thinking is very, very, for instance, in my example on Christmas clothes, you know, the idea is that there is no, that's the very definition of a spirit of poverty. You know, where you wear rubbish, but then you wait one day. It's like people that, I'm sorry if I'm yabbing your family, but it's like people that only go to Chicken Republic on their birthday. Hallelujah. Are we together? Don't worry if you're like that, it's okay. It's not, you are still righteous, not girl in Christ Jesus. But it's just that eventually where God will take you to is that you can just wake up in the morning and do what you want to do. You don't need to wait for a special day. Are we together? Are you feeling what I'm saying? Yeah. Why? Why? Not just so that you can enjoy chicken, but because there is something that God has done inside you that has changed how you think, how you see life. You don't postpone joy to the end of year. You are living in joy. You are making the best out of life every single day. Do you understand what I'm saying? When Satan has finished you, people that Satan has finished, there are the people that maybe on Easter Sunday they'll go to beach. Satan has finished. You get my point? That's the suffering has eaten your head. So you will now go, today is the day of enjoyment, you know, because Satan has finished your head. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm saying is making sense. Is it making sense? So there's a lot of revolution, okay, that happens. Now, I started mentioning this last week, but I'll continue again. There are three major implications of the new birth, okay? Are we together? Let's go to Colossians 1. Verse 13. Do you know that I feel myself like I'm enjoying myself like this, the way people are doing and the way I'm talking. You know, I'm feeling myself so much. I like lecturing. In another life, I'll probably be a lecturer in university or something like that. Not a teacher. I don't like teaching secondary school. But lecturer. Colossians 1 verse 13. Can we read it together? 1, 2, go. All right, let's read it in unison. 1, 2, go. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. What did he say that he has done? Yeah. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Yeah. Are we together? It's not that he's going to deliver us from the power of darkness. Is he going to deliver us from the power of darkness? Is he going to deliver us from the power of darkness? I'm asking you now. Is he going to deliver us from the power of darkness? Talk now, like, yes or no? Yes or no? Is he going to deliver us from the power of darkness? What do you think? Yes. Same with your full chest. There's no... Look, talk with your full chest. You get my point? If you are saying rubbish, say rubbish with your full chest. Are we together? No, for real. For real. Don't be scared of being wrong. It's not dead. You get my point? Like, he's wrong. You get, but you are wrong. Are you hearing me? What did I say? Shout it. Shout it well. And that's the end. Do you have my point? Right? It doesn't go beyond that. Do you hear my point? He's wrong. He's not stupid. He's wrong. You get my point, right? So don't attach stupidity or you don't have sense or you're a bad person. No, you are wrong. Me self, I'm wrong. You get my point, right? So don't be ashamed of talking. You know. You see, there's for you to change in you have to intentionally change. You don't passively change. You intentionally change. So you're the one that will change yourself. So when you are talking, talk with your chest. You understand? If they tell you to, maybe in class, they tell you to come and walk the thing on the board. If you don't know it, go there and walk the rubbish with your full chest. You understand? Walk here and say, this is what I did. I'm wrong, Abby. Okay, show me the right way. You get my point? Don't go and be doing as if, again, if you are wrong, be wrong with your full chest. If you are talking rubbish, talk rubbish with confidence. Hallelujah. So, my brother, he is not going to, in the context of what we are talking about, he is not going to deliver us from the power of darkness. Meaning, when, as we are like this now, Jesus Christ has finished his deliverance work, him personally, his own deliverance work. He has finished it in the context of defeating the works of Satan. He did that on the cross when he died. Okay, when he died, he defeated Satan. And so he has all power and authority. And when someone becomes a believer, their lineage or their location in terms of being under Satan changes. So they are no longer under Satan and they have been migrated. Are we together? So the people that they now interact with are the people in Mount Zion. Are we together? Who is in Mount Zion? Who is in Mount Zion? Who is in Mount Zion? It's a scripture I'm referencing. Who is in Mount Zion? You have come to Mount Zion. Who are the people that they started listening? Who knows the scripture I'm referencing? Does anybody know? No, okay, not that I even know the actual people. Do you know the scripture I'm referencing? Okay, I go there. Hebrews 12:22. Let's look at it. Let's go 21. Let's go to 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. Are we together? Where have we come to? Mount Zion. Okay. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Hallelujah. 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Are we together? All of us have registration number. You know the way people have jam number? You get, everybody has file. And who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. So these are the people that have died in the past, that followed God, from Abraham to Noah to Apostle Peter to everyone, right? So those men are all there. Let's go. 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is our current location. Eh? Are we together? Eh? This is where we are. These are our mates, in quotes. These are the people that we interact with. So when God looks at you, Daniela, when God looks at you, he's comparing you to the likes of David and Daniel. You get, those are the people that he's using to assess you. Are we together? Eh? It's not whiskey. It's not same. You get my point, right? That's why our role models are not Davido. Our role models are not Putin. You know, Vladimir Putin or Donald Trump. You know, those are not our role models. Hallelujah. Are we together? Eh? Our role models are Abraham. Eh? Amen. Amen. Sarah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? And we don't just have a superficial connection to these people. We are actually one family. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Eh? We are one family. We're in the same family. We're in the same conversations. Do you get what I'm saying? Eh? And everybody knows everybody. It's a large family, but it's connected. Everybody knows everybody. You get? Hmm? Are we together? Are we together? Everybody knows everybody. For example, it is not a big deal for God to discuss your matter in heaven. Meaning, everybody is discussing Christabel in heaven. That's what the conversation is. Are we together? We all know ourselves. Amen. So, let's go back to Colossians. So, when he says he has delivered us, it means that he has migrated us. The migration has happened already. You are still in the same family. You are still in the same Ojudu. Physically, your location has not changed, but spiritually, your location has changed already. Hallelujah. Are we together? Hmm? Are we together? Hear me, oh. Hear me. Hear me. Some of you say think that there are things pursuing you in your dream. Are we together? Some of you think that there are things pursuing you in your village. Are we together? Don't shake heads. Some people think it. You understand? Some people have dream and they'll start saying, hey, my village people are pursuing me. You know? People still have thoughts. Some people, maybe if they're walking on the road and they are, maybe they are carrying something. Maybe they're not tripped. The thing I fall inside gutter. And I was like, ah, my village. You know, people think like that. Hallelujah. Are we together? Eh? Some of you think that the generational curse in your family or that you are fighting a generational curse. Some of you think it. They are fighting generational battle. There's nobody here that is fighting a generational battle. Except you want to fight. You know, you can want to fight. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Meaning, maybe you are eager to fight. You want to fight, you know. But actually, there's nobody here that is really and truly fighting any demon anywhere. Hallelujah. Are we together? Why? He has delivered you from the power of darkness. When people I said go back to Colossians. When people don't understand that they've been delivered and don't understand the right things to do, you know, I told you, it was the way you think. People usually reject God's preaching. People do. You know? Some people, unfortunately, don't have the opportunity to be taught well. Okay? Those two sets of people are the people that are usually always going to prophets for a solution to problem. Are we together? Don't judge your life based on the mistakes of your parents. Are we together? You are not your parents. You are yourself. Okay? So, at times in life, what we do is that we will see the battles our parents are facing. We will now, in the spirit of family solidarity, we are now going to be fighting battle with our parents. But it's not true. Don't fight battle. Focus on what God is telling you to do. How will your life be in the next 20 years is what you are doing now. That will determine what will happen in the next 20 years. So don't fight battle of 15 years ago and neglect doing things now. That's the trick of Satan. You'll make it look like you have battle you are fighting. You will not leave the thing you are meant to be doing. And the truth, and the thing is that you'll be having spiritual experiences. You see, human beings are spirits. You know, human beings are spirits. It's just that we have earthly container. And let me put it this way. You see this bottle of water? You know, and that's why you need a pastor, because you need someone to guide you in spiritual things. You see this bottle of water? Eh? What's this? A bottle of water. Have you now? If you wake up every morning and you say, "Oh, bottle of water, I praise you. I worship you." Eh? "I praise you. I worship you." You bow down 5 times. You bow down 5 times. "I praise you. I worship you." Tomorrow, "Oh, God of water, I praise you. I worship you." You bow down 5 times. Eventually, the God of water will appear to you in your dream and say, "I'm the God of water, the one that you have been worshiping. This is what I want you to do in your life." That's how people worship idols. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the way idols work. Idols don't create themselves. It's a human being that will create it. A human being will sculpt it. You'll put it in the room. Because you worship the thing, a spirit will come on it. And the spirit will reveal itself to you. You say, "I'm the God of your ancestors." Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why your belief system is very important. Because if you believe they are fighting you, you will be having dreams of you fighting. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll be having serious dreams. Maybe, in fact, in the dream, you can even now be winning. You now wake up. "Ah, I won the battle." I won the battle. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So anything that is happening, you have to know that you have been delivered. Look. How can I have... I'm not... You see, why do some people believe they have a spiritual husband? You know, some people think they have a spiritual husband. Some people think they have a spiritual wife. Nobody married you yourself. You did not marry anybody. Someone does appear to you in your dream. "I'm your husband." Why did you believe? So, meaning if I just come in and say you are my wife, won't you say, "Okay, you're crazy. I'm not your wife." Why didn't you tell the spirit you're a crazy person? I don't know. When did I marry you? Because of your belief system. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he has delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness exists. Satan has his ways. He has his kingdom. People are under bondage, but he has already delivered us. So when we do things, you know, and I know what I'm saying will sound, you know, to some types of people, but when you do things, we don't do things factoring what Satan thinks. Amen. Amen. Huh? Satan is not in our framework of judgments. It's God. You understand? If there's a shrine in the place, it doesn't mean I won't build a house opposite the place. I'm not thinking about what Satan is doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's say now I find land, and in the land, they say that the person that used to use the land before was a jazz man. What's my concern? It has nothing to do with me. I'll go there and sleep. You get my point? That's not my concern. So I will not do what I want to do because I'm scared. Are we together? So, we have been delivered. Can you say, I have been delivered from the power of darkness? Can you shout, I have been delivered from the power of darkness? So, I have dominion. Okay? Please listen to me. This deliverance is not a function of holiness. It's not like, if I'm holy, I'm delivered. If I'm not holy, I'm not delivered. Amen. Are we together? It's not like the day I lied in the morning, that day Satan's demons will finish me that day. That's not how the thing works. Are we together? Are we together? Because our new identity is not sinner. Amen. It's not sinner. We're not sinners. Even though we can still sin, we are not sinners. So if we sin, we confess our sin, we repent. So we say, God, I'm sorry. You move on. Are we together? Huh? It's not like maybe you want to cast out a demon, then you'll not be, today I didn't pray this morning, or I didn't pray this morning, so I will not be able to cast out the demon. That's not how the thing works. Amen. Are we together? Some foolish people, they will give demon a microphone. Maybe when they want to show that they have power, they will give the person that is possessed microphone. What's your name? Very foolish people. The demon will now say, you people in this church, you're not living right. That's why I have power over you. Everybody will not be scared in the church. Hey, you're not living right, though. You're not living right. You know? Very stupid people. If Satan should appear now and say that, maybe he says now that water is dripping from the roof, you shouldn't believe him. He's a liar. That's his nature. And you get my point. You don't believe Satan. That's why Jesus did not permit demons to talk, because they're not going to say sensible things. They are liars. It's their nature. They will try and twist it, try and make people scared, try and put people in fear. That's their nature. So you don't negotiate with demons. Are we together? Eh? That's where people are possessed. Even the demons around you, when you see gossip, when you see, you don't negotiate with it. You're not in that same space. You are a child of light. So you separate yourself from darkness. Are we together? I don't want anybody here praying about break the chain of poverty over my life. There's no chain of poverty over anybody's life here. Except the one chain. For me, as your pastor, I'm telling you, there is no chain of poverty over. I say, bro, I don't care. See, if in your house now, there's no food. I mean, as they're going home now, there's no food. Do you know why there's no food? Do you know why there's no food? Your parents don't have money. And that's where it ends. So, what do you do? Go and learn how to have money. Are you together? Eh? So that you will then have food. Or so that when you grow up, you too, in your house, there will be food. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't spiritualize it. It's not a spiritual thing. Your parents don't have money. That's why there is no food. And why do our parents don't have money? Maybe when somebody was teaching them this thing, when they were young, they didn't hear. They wanted to fight battle. So instead of them going to learn work, how do people make money? Making money is not a spiritual thing, it's a physical thing. Go and learn work. If you go to school, become a medical doctor, you will earn money. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? Don't spiritualize it. So the second, so please, nobody else should, don't waste your time. Okay? Learn walk. Are we together? Instead of pray. Go and learn walk. Eh? What did I say? Go and learn walk. Know the one you want to do. If you don't know book, there are other things to do. That's in our life. Nobody is hopeless. You know, some people know book, some people don't know book. Quickly know the one you are in. You know? I think some people don't know. Maybe some people don't like physics, chemistry. You know, some people genuinely don't like it. Some people are creative with their hands and things like that, you know. So know the one that you want to do. Go and get a skill, equip your mind. You will make money. Don't stress yourself. It's not that there's no demonic oppression on money. There is, though. It's just that as a child of God, you have been delivered from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. The second thing the second implication of the new man is in Romans 8, verse 15. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Can we say it together? Can we say it one more time? Now, have you noticed that you are not afraid of God? Have you noticed? Have you noticed that as you are like this now, you are not scared of God? Huh? Even though God can be a scary person, but there's a way he has shown himself to you that people genuinely don't fear God like that. Even when we talk about the fear of the Lord, that one is a different kind of fear. But, you know, some of you are scared of your chemistry teacher. Have you now? Some of you are scared of your teacher. Some of you are scared of your lecturer. Some of you are scared of your parents even. You know, you're scared. You know. Maybe, I don't know if there's anywhere that maybe when daddy is home, you know, you just start rushing to clean the parlor and, you know, things like that. You know. You know, people are scared, but you will notice that you are not scared of God that way. You know? And this is such a powerful thing. Please, I want you to not forget this thing. That God wants you, in another place, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Are we together? Let's look for it. It's in Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let's Hebrews 4, verse 16. Can we read together? One, two, go. Yeah. So, the most powerful being in the universe is God. Abi? And he wants you to come to him. What's the matter? Are you guys sleepy? Are you sleeping? Why do you go there? Please, let me engage her. Let me know. And he told you to come. Please, listen to me. Listen to me. He told you to come boldly. To come and see him. That's a very amazing thing, though. That's very amazing. You know, he says, come, don't come with, you know, the way some people, are, when they are coming late to church, they'll be, you know, they don't come like that. Are we together? Come boldly. Come as if you are the owner of the house. You know, just come and, you know, open the door. Come. Hallelujah. Amen. This is amazing, though. Because what it means is that if God has accepted you like this, if God has accepted you like this, your head should be in cloud nine every day. That God has given you this level of freedom of access to come, and not just come, not come as if the house doesn't belong to you. Come like you belong. Don't come like a stranger. Are we together? Huh? Don't come with the spirit of fear. Don't come like when God appeared on Mount Sinai to Israel, everybody was scared. There was thunder. Bruh, bruh, bruh. Everybody was scared. Don't come like that. Come saying, Father, or Abba. Abba, Father, is just his father that he translated to Abba. You know. Come like that. Come. Are we together? This is revolutionary. If it enters your mind, it's... So what this means is that there's nobody you can't talk to. There's no office you can't enter. That's why, you see, that's why timidity can never be spiritual. I didn't say being quiet. You can be quiet, or, you know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying timid. It can never be spiritual. And me, I will never accept it when I say it. Because it's a different spirit. Are we together? It's a different baptism. It is not God that baptizes people with the spirit of timidity. God makes people meek. God makes people lowly. God doesn't make people timid. Do you get my point? Right? God does not make people timid. So, if you are coming every day to God, and God is saying, come boldly. And God is saying, come boldly to the throne of grace. Then that means that there is a certain level of boldness and confidence that you should have about life. Hallelujah. Are we together? You will never see, you will never get 100% assurance that your future will be bright. You have to believe it. Yeah? In life, there's no 100% assurance. You get my point? Some people invested in oil field or oil tanker. When they were investing in oil tanker, it looked like the surest business. All of a sudden, Dangote did refinery. The oil tanker business has crashed. Are we together? Don't worry. You must understand what I'm saying. Be thinking like business people. Eh? Some people is when they want to, maybe everybody is passing one way. Everybody is passing one way. Nobody's catching anybody. It's when they pass one way. That's when police will come and catch everybody. Are we together? There's no 100% certainty. You're going to have to believe it, and you're going to have to be confident. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even if God shows you a vision today of a brighter tomorrow, 2 weeks, if doubt is in you, you'll start doubting the thing again. I'm saying even if God himself appears like light in your room, you are going to be a great musician. 2 weeks. And the way the thing will happen there, you will still be remembering the light you saw. It's not, the light will go away from your mind. But just 2 weeks of disappointment, yeah, you can start doubting. The thing will not change from, because you can't doubt the lights that you saw. But what you now be saying that, God, you are playing with me.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
So you need boldness. You need confidence. Not everything you are doing in life would make sense as per plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan, you know. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? And part of the problem of life is that people like lying to people. Is the reason why many Gen Z people, you guys are not Gen Z like that, but the reason why many Gen Z people are angry because they lie to them. You know, the lie started from us. They told us that all you need to do is to go to school, come out with a good degree, and you'll be fine. It's a bloody lie. It's not true. You get my point, right? So, a lot of people put their hope in life, in school, that once I just go to school and I graduate, you know, everything will be fine. But it's a lie. It's not true. You know, once upon a time, the lie was your profession, what you want to do. And once you can be doctor, you make money. Bro, you know how many broke doctors are in this country right now? you know, as in, you know, even myself, when I was, because back then it was lawyer, doctor, engineer, you know. So once you can be doctor, once you endure all the suffering of 8 years, university and all that suffering, you know, the money will be good. Doctors are broke. Oh. All of them have jackpot to UK. There's no money in this, you know. People lie. Are we together? Are we together? So you need boldness and confidence in life. Hallelujah. When you are not bold and when you are not confident, God can't even inspire you. You'll just be going with the wind. If it's tech bro, now you want to be tech bro. If it's this one, you want to be this one. If it's that one, you want to be that one. You can't stay on something. Do you understand what I'm saying? So those things come as a result of a lack of confidence and a lack of boldness. That's where those things come from. But it's not meant to be so. Because you are meant to boldly. You see, when you interact with Jesus, when you interact with God, there has to be the building up of self-esteem. You have to be, it has to be building up in you. Your knowledge of self has to be expanding. Are we together? Your knowledge of self, who you think you are, has to be expanding. Me, I'm blessed. It's not degree that made me blessed. I am a blessed person. Hallelujah. Are we together? As I've discarded, it might not seem that way, but I've discarded many things that human beings can latch on to. Intelligence, I've discarded all those things. I rely more on the Spirit of God than intellect. You know? Or the Spirit of God as per intellect, more than just carnal intellect. Amen. You see, Christian, he can't talk. He's ashamed of talking because of H factor, you know, can't talk, can't, you know. Maybe someone now think they are small. That's why they, you know, you just be hearing things. Yet, demons don't respond to height. God does not respond to height. Are we together? So you can't be in this, what God has done is that you have to have a very, very large estimation of who you are in Christ Jesus. In fact, it has to be so potent that there can't be any perpetual or there can't be any source of sorrow that you agree with. Let me explain what I mean. If maybe now I, no matter what is happening in life, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If I apply for visa and they don't give me the visa, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You get? If they say, can I go and start branch in Lekki or somewhere, I don't know. You know, and in 10 years, it's still 3 people in the church. I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've not stopped being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? No matter what is happening in life, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I still have a Father who is God. And I am still coming boldly to the throne of grace. That's why, you see, that's why God has never, you know, I'll say that one later. But that's why, you know, for instance, you read your Bible, you will never see God, maybe when God is judging who is successful, God will always use a different metric. With Job, they introduced Job as the wealthiest man on the earth. When God spoke about Job, he said, this is one that fears me, my servant. Do you understand what I'm saying? God always uses a different metric because he thinks differently. He's a different person. Okay? So when you contact him and when you fully understand who he is and who you are in him, your metrics will change. Do you know something? Your metrics will change. How you judge yourself will change. How you judge life will change. What you see as value will change. Amen. Are you with me? Shall I stop? Are you tired? Say your mind though. Are you tired? Are you sleepy? So you see, when we say that we are a new creation, you see, it's beyond just, it's not an excitement. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not an excitement thing. It's real. Amen. What you see in the Bible is real. It has to be real. If it is not real, you are wasting your time in church. So you have to believe it, okay? The saddest people on earth are carnal Christians. Those are the saddest people on earth because it is better. See, it is better for you to know that you are in the world, enjoying the world. And for you to be in the church, but your life is looking like world. You know, if you're in the world, be in the world. Do you get my point? Those are the saddest people on earth. Religion. It will make your head turn to your head. Amen. Amen. No. Huh? It's real. You have to believe it. Are we together? Which comes to the next thing that I'm saying. How do we walk in this thing? It's only one way. Renewal of mind. You see? It is what your mind can conceive that will be your reality. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? So you have to take it as a personal project. It's a personal project. It's not God will come in, but you are the one that initiates it. Okay? It's your personal project to renew your mind. And how do you do it? It's very simple. It's what you focus on. You see, your mind is a natural creative engine. It's always working. It's always working. Eh? You don't need to alter the process at all. The mind is created to be chewing and regurgitating and doing all sorts of things. Eh? All you need to do is to just fix what is entering inside of it. That's all. So you need to spend time. What did I say? Spend time looking at God's word like a mirror. That's what you need to do. Huh? Nobody here is doing it enough. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody here is doing it enough. Nobody. You need to spend time looking at that word. You look at it. You look at it. And this is where serious people are usually sifted out, because 80% of the time, nothing will be happening. I mean, it's a very boring process. It's not stimulating. You get my point, right? That's why you even get questions, or you get the desire of people to always have revelation when they read their Bible. Because people cannot just sit down and read the Bible and go away. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. For some people, if they don't have one full page of revelation, they feel like they wasted their time, you know. So it's about your mind. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. You are not thinking like God currently. That's why you're like this. Okay? You're not thinking like God currently. You need to start thinking like God. And the way you learn how to think like God is in the Bible, also when we talk about God. So teachings like this, messages like this. So friends, as I've been teaching, I've been telling you things. Abina, when we look into God's word, we receive information. And we are meant to allow that information to transform us. But one of the many problems, or one of the major problems, is that people don't believe God. Okay? I've been doing this thing for a while. Not even as a pastor, but as a Christian. I've been living as a Christian. But people don't believe God. People don't. You know? I'm sure people don't believe God. There are ways to solve for that problem, do repetition. Okay? Meaning you can solve your lack of belief problem by repeating. And then you can also solve it by being intentional. Meaning you just have to don't have a fantastical view of God. God is not in the cloud, in the heaven. You know, that thing is like a barrier. People just, even when they want to pray God, they look up. You know, it's a kind of religiosity where people just, we are hearing these things in church, but after church, I'll still do my normal life. You know? It has to change from that. What we discuss in church, what the Holy Spirit brings to you, what God inspires you to do, it's not just mere information, it's life. And if you take on that life and you stay on it, you begin to experience transformation. Hallelujah. I've spoken about boldness, for instance. What are you going to do with that information? What you should do with that information is that you should start trying to do what you normally would not do. That's how you believe it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So, when you are in class or wherever is happening, maybe even in your glory home, you don't like talking because you are shy. Now that you know, you have the information that that's not the Spirit of God, then what should you do? Start talking. Even if as they are talking, you are stammering, start talking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? There should be the desire to receive the word, respond to the word. There should be that desire. Not just that you hear the word, oh, a very good preaching, and then till next week. You will not grow that way. Amen. So whenever God's word comes to us, we can respond. We have the ability to respond to what God is saying. And so we should respond to what God is saying. Be a doer of the word. Stay on the word. It's just make it your focus. You understand? That's all. It's that simple. Just focus on it. You can focus on it. You can tell yourself, now I want to spend more time reading my Bible. You can tell yourself. You have the ability to do it. And when your mind is in something, that's when your creativity would begin to manifest. Anybody that is not creative is because their mind is not in what they are doing. They're just doing it haphazardly. They have this anyhowness attitude. You know? Amen. And the most beautiful thing about this thing is that, well, one of the most beautiful thing about it is that God is not a respecter of persons. It's the way you respond to God that will determine what you see. God does not know things, church. It's a human creation. You understand? There's no lesser engagement of God. It's how serious you take the thing. In fact, let me tell you something. God is even more serious with young people than with old people. Old people cannot change. It's very difficult. I tell you the truth. It's very difficult. Most people past 28 are finished. 28 is too, I'm just giving some grace, self. By 24, 25, most people are like that. They will be like that at 80. For real. They won't change much. You understand? As well, also, you shouldn't be arguing with your parents. Your parents are never going to change. That one I can guarantee you. They are never going to change. Just accept them like that. They are never. Your parents will never change. If your mom maybe has a habit of excessive worrying, just accept her like that. You know, 90, she will be like that. Change is very hard. You know, it's possible, but it's very hard. You know. It's young people that can change. So God is very, very particular about young people. It's just that when God comes to young people, the young people don't know that it's God because, you know, we all have our idea. Look at my choir singer. You know, we all have our idea. Like what I'm saying now, you know, it makes people fall asleep. You get it, right? Because young people want their church to be like old people's church. Lots of dancing, lots of, you know. Amen. But you know, when God comes, he doesn't come with, you know, even was not the prophet, it was Elijah now, he came with still small voice. You know, God is not a dramatic person the way we think he is. Amen. Okay, no, we'll soon be done. I'll be done now. I'll close. Just like reading books, you know. You can start reading a book now, you start sleeping, you know. Have you know? It's the way it is. You know. The things that we build, usually don't like it. Even down to food, you know. People rather take sweet than vegetable. You get? Have you know? Yeah, people rather take sweet than vegetable. People rather take ice cream than vegetable. If you don't read books, you're going to be a very stupid person. I tell you, you'll be a stupid person. You will not have sense if you don't read. I'm telling you. Don't judge you see, when you look at reading, don't look at it as a hobby. You know, some people are blessed with the hobby of reading. Don't try and copy them. Some people like to read. Eh? See it as medicine. Are we together? Are we together? See it as medicine. It's bitter. But you have to take it. Okay? But if you don't, there's something I'll share. It just occurred to me now. I have a Google Drive link. I will share it on the main group. Because that main group, there are people there that I'm not even sure who they are. But I'll share it. But I'll advise you, it contains lots of books, spiritual books. Just be reading them one by one. Okay. I'll create a Google Drive folder and just share with the team. So they will share. You'll get it. If you have a phone, you will get it. Just go there, read the books one by one. You know, you need to get into it. You understand? You will sleep. But it doesn't matter. When you wake up, continue. Do you get my point? All right? When you wake up, continue. No, for real, you'll sleep. You'll sleep. You know. Because your flesh doesn't want it. But when you wake up, continue. You get? Your head will pain you. For some of you, your head will pain you. You know. But it's fine. It's part of it. Hallelujah. You need God's knowledge. You need it to feel. You need it. You need to take it in. 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 That's how you burst. That's how you have spiritual breakthrough. You feed. You feed. You feed. You feed. You feed. And then, boom. You break through. Are we together? And then lastly, you know, you need to avoid distractions. Now, you see, in the Christian race, there are many distractions. Two things would always happen to you. As much as possible, my prayer for you is that you won't experience the first one so much. But you will definitely experience the second one. Okay. The first one is that you will see... please, let's look at me. Look at me. We're done. In the Christian race, there are two things you must experience, right? I'll say my prayer for you is that you will experience the first one. That first one is you will see people that you start with fall off. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, that one always happens. We don't pray for it. For instance, I can't even wish that for anybody here, you know, to fall off. But it happens, right? And I'm doing all I can to make sure that at least within your group, you won't see much of it. But you never know. It's human will. A human being can decide to do what they want to do, like Judas, you know. So you will see that one, which is you will see people fall off. People will start on fire. Some would go completely to the world. I mean, you know, you will see stuff like you can see. Real speaking in tongues people will start doing LGBT. You know, those things they happen for various reasons. The second one is you'll be distracted with various winds. Maybe the new wind is praying this way. You will see like a whole generation of people would start praying in a particular way. Are we together? You will see a lot of that. Many you will see trends. People will be in the faith. Now, for you to emerge the way God will have you emerge, you have to be focused and not follow trends. Are we together? Are we together? Because you see, a lot of what you see and experience. Let me put it this way: growth is local, meaning who you are. And what God is working in you is in your local context, is in your house, is in your class, is in your streets. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. right? That is where God is working in you. God is not necessarily like what is happening in Uzbekistan, that because you can watch the meeting in Uzbekistan, you know, there's a country like that. Because you can watch the meeting and follow their meeting, it doesn't mean that is what God is working in you. Are we together? Huh? So you're going to have to learn how to be focused. There's the worldly side of it, which is don't follow the world, you know, but there's also the Christian side of it. Now, it's not that the people expressing themselves are bad. They're not bad. What I'm just saying is that you're going to have to learn how to be silent. Because lots of times, what people want is that people want to have a form of something without having the substance of the thing. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? Are we together? In the psalm that we just read, Psalm 84, there's a part where it talks about blessed is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage. You remember? Can we let's pull up the verse. Let me use it and close. I think it's verse 4 or something like that. Is somebody there? Psalm 84. Verse 5. Psalm 84, verse 5. All right. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Let's continue. As they pass through the valley of Baca, you know, let's go to, let's change this. Change this to maybe NLT. Are you changing it to NLT? When they walk through the valley of weeping, hallelujah, it will become a place of refreshing springs. Now, it's just that it's a very simple thing. It's not a deep revelation like that. It's just that on the way to pilgrimage, the journey is not easy. Okay? If you're going on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, you know, everybody's going on pilgrimage for Passover, right? On that journey, that's the philosophy of pilgrimage, is go on a journey that there'll be lots of challenges on the way, but it ultimately produce character in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So, what I'm saying is that it is the character that is formed in you that will count. And that character can only be formed in you when you are going through situations in your local environment. Because it's that local environment that you have challenges. You know, when you go to your rich cousin's house in Lekki, life is sweet. You forget about your real life. When you come back home, you remember that life is tough. You know, some people can go to their rich cousin's house. They say they should go and do sleepover. They won't pray again. You know, because now you're enjoying, right? But when you come back, you will see Satan. I mean, that's when you see Satan. You get my point, right? So it is because that is your unique place that God has put you in, right? And that is where you will be emerging. That's where you'll be growing. So you need to focus where God has put you. That's just what I'm saying. Focus on where God has placed you. As you interact in that place, you will be growing in the nature of God. Hallelujah. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for the new life that you have given us. Father, may we walk in the revelation of your new life. Let every deadness in us, everything that is not what you have done in us, let it die in the name of Jesus. Every thought pattern, Holy Spirit, kill it in the name of Jesus. Every habit, every nature of our old man, Let it be killed in the name of Jesus. Take us on that journey to perfection. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. 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 Amen.